In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, today, my beloved, we're celebrating the great saint, which is very popular all over the world, and just about every country considers his own saint. This is Saint Nicholas of Mirlisia. The great miracle worker. He was born, and immediately they showed something special. That he stood in a baptismal font for 3 hours, and without being held by himself. And when he was having milk from his mother's breast, he would only take it from the right side, right breast, and he'd never take it from the left, because he wanted to be on the right side with Borinka all the time. And he had also kept the fasting on Wednesday and Fridays. He absolutely refused to take any of mother's milk until the evening came, and after the evening prayers were said by the parents. And that's how he started off. And he wasn't interested in playing the regular games that the children play and so on. And he was drawn to the Lord. He was very talented, and very easily he would be instructed and learn things. And of course, he studied the scriptures and so on. Eventually, he has become a priest, but he had such a quality about him that if he found out that somebody is suffering and somebody has troubles, he would absolutely right away try to help them. Here's an example. For instance, there was a father had 3 daughters, and they were grown up already at the age of getting married, and he was rich before, but then he became very poor, and they didn't know how to feed his girls, and to clothes, because he was in such a poverty. And so he had a terrible thought. He said to himself, I'm going to make out of my house a house of iniquity, where there'll be, my daughters will make money through prostitution, and then people will come here. And it was a terrible thing to do something like that. And he was determined that he has to do it, because he was just in such a terrible shape. And financially, he couldn't support anymore and give food to the girls. And so he wanted the girls to commit a big, great sin so they'll be able to bring some money into the house. Well, Borinka, our Lord, had revealed that to Saint Nicholas, and through the Holy Spirit, and he was obviously clairvoyant, and he decided that he has to do something about it. Now, usually, the priest would go over and start bawling him out and tell him, this is a terrible thing, you're endangering your eternal life, and you're going to go to hell for that, and you're going to also ruin your daughters and so on. But he did nothing of the kind. What he did at night, he just took a bag and put in gold coins in it. And then in the middle of the night, he comes over to his house and he saw a window open, so he throws in the bag with the gold through a window. The next morning, the man sees the bag and opens up and sees gold in there, gold coins, and so he was quite surprised and quite joyful. And that was at that time when you give a woman to marriage to somebody, you have to give a dowry. And he had nothing, but he said, oh, now I have a gold, and I'll give my first daughter, I'll give her away in marriage, and use this gold for the dowry. And he did that. And then St. Nicholas and of course knew that he had three girls. So a little later, he had did the same thing. He came at night and through open window he threw another bag of gold, and the man had saw it and heard it and opened up, and again he saw it was gold, and he was so joyful, but he was determined he has to find out who is doing that. And but anyway, he had done the same thing with his second daughter. He had given her away to marriage and gave the dowry, the gold. And then he was determined he's going to be waiting and not sleeping, waiting for the man to show up, so that he wants to see who it is. And sure enough, the Saint Nicholas comes up again and throws the bag through the window, and the man immediately spots him and runs after him, and he runs after him, catches him and bows down to him and begs and thanks him from his heart, and tells him that he has saved him and their daughters from terrible sinning and terrible situation. And Saint Nicholas though said that, but you don't say it to anybody while I'm alive, you don't reveal it to nobody. And he made him to promise that he wouldn't say it to anybody. And my beloved, this is just one little example of what he has done. So many miracles. You should really read up on the lives of the saint. There was he helped so many times stop the terrible storms in the sea. He would stop it just like the Lord. He has resurrected a man that fell off way from the mast, and he fell down and died, and Saint Nicholas resurrected him. And then there was another situation, a mother and a father going with a little baby in their hands, they're going across the river to St. Nicholas Church to celebrate the day, because it was already after St. Nicholas was taken to heaven. And what happened is that the mother fell asleep, and the little baby slipped out of her hand and went into the river and drowned. And of course it was such a great tragedy to the father and to the mother that they lost the baby like that. And first they prayed, and then the husband started to kind of reprimand St. Nicholas that how come he didn't save him, or he knew that they loved him very much and always celebrated his day, and why couldn't he have saved the baby? And anyway, it was a great tragedy. But the next morning, the keeper on the church opens the church door, goes inside, and all of a sudden he hears on the choir loft, he hears a baby crying. He comes over and sees a baby. He thought it was mother there also with the baby, but no, the baby was all by himself, and the soaking wet and was crying. So he had told the bishop or even the metropolitan to look for the parents who had left the baby there, the baby was there. And finally the parents came and they recognized that it was their baby, and they knew that it was a great miracle that Saint Nicholas had took him out from the water, resurrected him, and brought him to the church. So how many times he has stopped executions, that there was a situation where there was three men who were going to be executed, and it was unfair. It was so he came up through the people, and the executor was already raised his sword, and he was going to chop off the head, and St. Nicholas grabbed the sword grabbed his arm, took the sword away, and threw it on the floor, and told him that they had been accused falsely, and they're not guilty, and he let them go. Same thing that happened with soldiers, that they were maligned by somebody that for some reason hated them, and they said to the emperor that these soldiers, they're planning to kill you. And so they were incarcerated, and the chains were put on their legs in the dungeon. And Saint Nicholas came and released them from their chains and appeared to the emperor in a dream. And even threatened him. He says, if you don't let go these people, release them, for they're innocent, they were maligned. And I will then make the people rebel against you, and you have a rebellion on your hand. From the people. Well, my beloved, the emperor was astonished from that visitation, and the next day he calls for the soldiers to be brought to him, and of course they were surprised that they had no shackles on them, and they were brought, and they talked to the emperor, and the emperor found out that actually they were maligned and that they were loyal to him and very good, and so he gave them a presents to give to Saint Nicholas, because he found out it was Saint Nicholas, a gold incenser with stones and gospel, also very gold one, and he said to take it to Saint Nicholas and thank him for what he had done. But this is just only some of the things that he has done. I'm sure you can find the life of a saint, and then you'll be able to know more about it. But he was always so merciful. He was feeding so many people because he didn't want to be a bishop, and he wanted actually to be a recluse, but he was ordered by the Lord to go into the city, and he was called. Then the archbishop died, and the bishops got together, and they had to elect another one, and they couldn't come up to the solution. They were having differences of opinion, and then one of them suggested that they shouldn't be choosing, let the Lord choose them, the bishop, and they chose. They prayed on it hard, and the Lord appeared to the bishop and even a couple of bishops, and told him that he should go to the church and early and be by the entrance of the church, and the first man that's going to come in, his name will be Nicholas, and you take him, and he is to be the bishop for the Lycée. And my beloved, that's what happened. The bishop went and waited for somebody to come in. The first one who came in was Saint Nicholas, and he asked him, what your name is? And he didn't answer first, and he asked him again. And so Saint Nicholas says, well, I'm your servant, Nicholas, Nikolai. And the bishop took him and brought him to the other bishops and said that here's the man that the Lord had pointed us for us to make the archbishop over here. And of course he tried to wiggle out of it, but because of his humility. But they told him that it's the will of God, he has to obey. And he's become the bishop. And he's become even more ascetic being a bishop. But this time, while being a priest and being a person, he was keeping absolutely a secret all the good deeds that he was doing. As the gospel says, you give a right hand that your left hand won't know what you're even giving away. And that's what he was doing. But once he's become a bishop, then the people started to see it, and he couldn't conceive it anymore, and he thought that it might be good for them to see a bishop to be kind and good. My beloved Saint Nicholas is, of course, example for all of us how to live according to the gospel. He lived according to the gospel, and he showed such great love to everybody. He had shown that, in fact, he gave his life for everybody. He didn't live for himself. He lived for everybody else, and he had consoled so many people. Not only had, but is still consoling many people. All you have to do is cry out to him when you are in trouble and beg him to come and help you, and he will do that. He continues to do that. And then, like I said in the beginning, every nation considers him just about being their own saint, because he had helped so many. There is no nation in the world that wasn't helped by Saint Nicholas. And my beloved, we have to learn to be merciful and to love one another. We have to know that the main commandment is to be merciful. And if we want to have a mercy from our Lord, we have to be merciful. So we can't start attacking people, those who did something wrong and so on. We don't attack them and bring them down and start fighting and so on. None of those things is correct. What we have to do is, first of all, pray for them and know at all times that I am the greatest sinner, and never look down on anybody else. Always think that everybody else is better. And this is a humility. That's how we learn, try to copy what the saints have done. My beloved, none of them ever put their nose up and said to themselves, "Oh, I'm better than anyone, somebody else." But they would always feel that they're worse and everybody else is better. And if somebody is in trouble, they pray their heart out as if they were the ones that were in trouble. And Saint Nicholas is going to do that for you and for me. He will continue to do that as he had done. We have to cry out to him, though, and call him. Because first, of course, we have to go to our Savior, the Lord. And when we feel that we're unworthy to even to contact our Lord, we go to the Mother of God, because she is our mother, and she will try to plead with her son to help us. And after that, of course, is your guardian angel, which we always have to address, and Saint Nicholas, and your own saint that you have, that you've been assigned to, given a name from. We have to keep contact with the heavenly dwellers if we are to want to go there. You know, too many times the enemy just makes us to think and to live just like animals, as if we didn't have any soul. And the devil also conceals himself and tries to get each other to fight brothers against brothers, sisters against brothers, brothers against sisters, and wives against husbands, husbands against wives, and children against parents, and so on. Cities against cities, countries against countries, all that is being instigated by the evil one. And he conceals himself. And as St. John of Kronstadt says, that those people who deny even the existence of the devil and the evil spirits, then it's a sure sign that they are already possessed, that the evil spirit is inside of their heart, and it's keeping them from believing that he even exists, so that they won't fight him, but they fight their close ones, or those who may have stepped on their pride for anything. My beloved, we have to learn the truth, and the truth is that all the saints have told us that we have to fight as the Lord has said. We have to fight against the evil spirits. And one situation with St. Nicholas was that as there was a ship going to the city of St. Nicholas, and they were going to for a celebration and of his holiday, and the devil makes himself look like a woman and with a vessel, and he comes up to the ship and says, "Ah, you have stomach trouble and I cannot be riding in the boat, I'll get sick, and so could you take this vessel and pour it into the lamp of St. Nicholas, into the Lampada." They take the vessel or vase and into the ship. And as they travel for a day or so, all of a sudden a terrible storm comes up. They're in big, big trouble. So what happens? St. Nicholas appears. He is as if rowing in a little boat close to the ship and tells them, "If you know what it is that you have taken the vase from that woman, actually it was a devil, and it's had all kinds of stuff in that vase that causes this storm. Take this the vase and throw it into the sea and the things will calm down." And what they did exactly like that. They threw it in the sea and all kinds of sparks went, and the bubbles and all kinds of things happening, and they got quite scared, and it was St. Nicholas' prayer, it stopped, everything stopped, and became quite calm. So you see, there's many, many times in the lives of saints where you can see and how the enemy can trick people, and they take forms of all kinds of, and people and animals and snakes and all kinds of terrible monsters. They all do that so that to scare us, because that's what the enemy wants us. He wants us to live in fear, but you know where we come, the fear comes because we don't have the love. For St. John, the apostle, theologian and the apostle of love, the gospel writer, said that if you have love, true love for the Lord and your neighbors, you will not have any fear, because fear comes from the evil one. So let's try to remember that, and let's try to love one another, and of course, first of all, love our Lord and all the heavenly dwellers and each other, and pray for each other and help each other to grow spiritually, so that we'll be able to meet all together in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. God bless you.